Out in the hallway, the bell chimed once, quiet and civilized. Reacher stood up and stepped to the door and watched. The policewoman on duty was sitting on the bottom stair. She got up and crossed the dim space and opened the front door. Chief Holland came in with a soft flurry of snow and a cloud of cold air. He stamped his feet on the mat and shivered as the warmth hit him. He took off his parka. The policewoman hung it up for him, right on top of Reacher's borrowed coat. Holland crossed the hallway and nodded to Reacher and pushed past him to the kitchen door. He told Janet Salter that he had no significant news for her, and that he was dropping by merely to pay his respects. She asked him to wait in the library. She said she would make coffee and bring it in. Reacher watched her fill an old percolator made of thick, dull aluminum. It had a cord insulated with fabric. It was practically an antique. It could have been melted down from a surplus B-24 Liberator after World War II. Reacher stood ready to help, but she waved him away and said, "Go and wait with the chief in the library." So Reacher joined Holland in the book-lined room and asked, "How are things?" Holland said, "What things?" "The car out on the eastern town limit, with the dead guy in it." "We're not sure if our initial assumption was correct. About breaking the chain, I mean. It could have been a simple robbery gone wrong." "How so?" "The guy was a lawyer, but there was no briefcase in the car." "You ever heard of that? A lawyer without a briefcase?" Maybe someone took it." "Was there a wallet in his pocket?" "Yes." "A watch on his wrist?" "Yes." "Was he expected up at the jail?" "Not according to the visitor lists. His client made no request, but his office claims he got a call." "Then it wasn't a simple robbery. He was decoyed out there. He had no briefcase because he wasn't planning on writing anything down. Not in his current line of work." "Maybe. We'll keep the line of inquiry open." "Who made the call to his office?" "A male voice. Same as the first five times. From a cell phone, we can't trace." "Who was the client he saw at the jail?" "Some deadbeat simpleton we'll never get anything out of. We arrested him 8 weeks ago for setting fire to a house. We're still waiting for a psychological evaluation, because he won't speak to anyone he doesn't want to. Not a word." "Sounds like your biker friend chose well." The percolator started burping and gulping out in the kitchen. It was loud. Reacher could hear it quite clearly. The smell of brewing coffee drifted in and filled the air. Colombian, Reacher figured. Ground coarse. Reasonably fresh. He said, "Mrs. Salter and I were talking about raw material supply to the lab you figure they've got out there." "You think we're negligent? You think we're putting her at risk when we have a viable alternative?" "I didn't say that." "We've tried, believe me. Nothing comes through Bolton. We're damn sure of that. Therefore, they're being supplied from the west. The highway patrol is responsible for the highway. We have no jurisdiction there. All we control is the county two-lane that runs north to the camp. We put cars there on a random basis. Literally random. I roll actual dice on my desk." Reacher said, "I saw them there." Holland nodded. "I do it like that because we can't afford for the pattern to be predictable in any way at all. But so far, we haven't been lucky. They watch us pretty carefully, I suppose." "Okay. The trial will do it for us, or the plea bargain the night before. It won't come any earlier than that. One more month, that's all. Peterson told me there's no way to fudge the crisis plan." "He's right. We objected, of course, but the deal was done by the mayor. Lots of money, lots of strings attached. We'd have Justice Department monitors all over us forever."
"A gift horse."
"More trouble than it's worth," Holland said. "But then I don't own a motel." Plato's walled compound extended across 100 acres. His walking path through the scrub was more than 3 miles long. He got his next idea at the farthest point from the house. It was characteristically bold. The DEA was going to bust the Russian. That was a given. Plato wasn't going to stand in their way. The agents had to see the guy take possession. But possession of what, exactly? Enough to make the charges stick, for sure. But not necessarily everything the guy was about to pay for. That would be excessively generous under the circumstances. A small margin could be retained. A large margin, in fact. Possibly most of the agreed amount. Because what the hell could the Russian guy do? Rant and rave in a supermax cell somewhere about the unfairness of life? He would be doing that anyway. So Plato could take the guy's money and then sell the stuff all over again to someone else. Like selling a house. Except this time you'd take the stove and the light bulbs and the glass from the windows. The scheme would more than double his transportation problem, but he could deal with that. He was sure a solution would present itself. The details would fall into place. Because he was Plato. And they weren't. Janet Salter brought the coffee to the library on a silver tray. A china pot, some cream, some sugar, 3 tiny cups, 3 saucers, 3 spoons. Clearly, the on-duty policewomen were not included. Probably there had been prior discussion about separation of professional and social obligations. Probably the policewomen were happy with the final outcome. Reacher had been in their situation many times. Always better to compartmentalize and focus. Janet Salter poured the coffee. The cup was far too small for Reacher's hand, but the coffee was good. He sniffed the steam and took a sip. Then Chief Holland's cell phone rang. Holland balanced his cup and dragged the phone from his pocket and checked the window. He opened the phone one-handed and answered. He listened to the caller for 8 seconds. Then he hung up and smiled, widely and gratefully and happily. He said, "We just caught the guy who shot the lawyer." 2:05 in the afternoon. 38 hours to go. Chapter 15. Reacher rode back to the station with Holland. The unmarked Crown Vic churned its way out of the side street and locked into the established ruts and headed home smooth and easy. Peterson was waiting in the squad room. He was smiling, too, just as widely and gratefully and happily as Holland was. Reacher wasn't smiling. He had serious doubts, based in bitter experience. A fast and easy resolution to a major problem was too good to be true, and things that were too good to be true usually weren't. A basic law of nature. He asked, "So who was the shooter?" Peterson said, "Jay Knox, the bus driver.